Now, if you haven't been here, we've said that creating space is creating margin or distance between our current pace and our limits in any area of life. Last week, we talked about time. Today, we're going to talk about money. And then next week, we're going to talk about relationships. And what we've said throughout this series is that your life is better when you create space. We've said that it's okay for your closet to look like this. It's okay for your closet or your maybe even the back of your car to look like this. It's not okay for your life to look like this. It's much better if your life looks something like this. Because when it comes to our time, when it comes to our schedule, or when it comes to our finances, this doesn't work for very long, where there's just all kinds of pressure. And I know sometimes we don't really mean to, but in an attempt to get the most out of life, we tend to lose control of our lives. And so today we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about your money. Now, here's the great news, especially if you haven't been in church for a long time. I don't want anything from you. All right? We don't pass a plate in here. You know, we're not starting up another building project. I don't want anything from you, but I want something for you. All right? Because when it comes to our finances, it's no fun when our finances, again, look like that. And there's just no room for error. And you feel that financial pressure. And here's the other great thing. Your Heavenly Father doesn't want your finances to look like that either. So today, for a few minutes, I want to talk about how to create some space financially. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, and I'm going to push you really, really hard on this today. And here's the cool thing. If you're not a Christian or you're not a Jesus follower or maybe somebody, you know, bribed you with lunch today or maybe you just stumbled across us on Facebook, you don't have to be a Christian or religious person to benefit from what we're going to talk about today. But if you are a Christian, right, if you are a Jesus follower, this isn't optional, right, because of what we're about to see. And what we're about to see is this, that there is a relationship. And again, this is huge. There is a relationship between your ability to follow Jesus, or to maybe use a Bible term, there is a relationship between Jesus being the Lord of your life and your willingness to get your financial house in order. And it has nothing to do with giving, but it has everything to do with creating space because of what Jesus says about finances. So to begin our discussion, I want to tell you something that nobody is telling you. And when I tell you this, you're going to go, yep, that's right. I've just never thought about it before. Because every single day we're told the opposite, right? And here it is. There is a big difference, right? There is a big difference between your standard of living and the quality of life. Right? There's a big difference between standard of living and quality of life. And Dan, you need to go ahead another slide yet. You're behind one. Now, every single day, all right, every single advertisement, and I have, again, nothing against advertisers. They're just really good at what they do. But every single day with every single advertisement, you and I are told that these two things are exactly the same. That if I raise my standard of living, if I, you know, drive better, dress better, vacation better, eat out better, you know, everything is just better, bigger, you know, shinier, faster, I upgrade everything I own. If I raise my standard of living, I'll then have a better quality of life. And that is absolutely not true. And in fact, some of you are not enjoying the quality of your life, and you have a higher standard of living than you've ever had before. Right? You and your family, or you and your spouse, or maybe just you as an individual, as a single, your standard of living has been raised throughout the years, and you don't get along. And you argue about money and stuff all the time. And you have more stuff than you've ever had, but you're not enjoying it. You know why? Because there is a big difference between standard of living and quality of life. And it's because you can raise your standard of living with debt. You raise your quality of life with discipline. And we like debt more than we like discipline. Now, when it comes to your time is limited, and so you have to limit what you do with your time. When it comes to your money is limited, but you don't have to limit what you do with your money because of debt and because of a lack of discipline. So here's where we're going. And it got really quiet in here. And I haven't even gotten to the Bible yet. Right? But I'm telling you, this is so, so important. Okay, do not ever confuse these two things. Now, if there is a God and God knows your name and God cares, you know, anything about you, I mean, if you truly do matter to God, what would you guess God is more concerned about if he loves you? I mean, what does God need from you? Nothing. Right? You're here for a second. You know, we talked about that last week. God is everlasting to everlasting. Well, what could you possibly do for God? Nothing. If you ever, you know, think that somehow God is better off because of you, then your God is very, very small. And it's like you carry God around in your back pocket. Okay, that God does not exist except for in your mind. And God is everlasting to everlasting. What could you possibly do for God? Nothing. And yet, God loves you. And if God loves you, whether you believe that yet or not, but if you're a Christian, right, you actually believe that he sent his son to this earth to die and give his life for you. If you believe that, what do you think he is more interested in? Your standard of living or your quality of life? Let me ask it this way. If you're married, which would you rather have? An awesome marriage or a horrible marriage with cool cars? Now, some of you have tried this, right? Now, some of you, you've got like an awesome house and really cool cars, and you don't like to go home. Right? You don't like to spend time with your spouse or maybe your former spouse. You know, when she hears the garage door open, she's looking for something else to do. Right? She's leaving, right? Or when you get home and she's not there, you're happy. But you've got cool cars, right? You know, way to go. At some point along the way, it begins to dawn on us, and the earlier the better, that there is a difference between standard of living and quality of life. That's why creating space financially is so huge. That's why margin financially is so huge. So here's where we're going, right? Here's the statement, ready? Creating space financially may lower your standard of living, but I promise you, it's going to raise your quality of life. And at some point along the way, at some point in your life, quality of life is going to become more important to you than your standard of living. In fact, some of you maybe have more money or make more money now than you ever made, and you have no peace. You have no peace because you fell for a lie. And I'm not blaming advertisers or marketers. It's your fault, right? It's my fault. You believed something that as soon as I put it up on the screen, you're like, yeah, that's true. Right? There's a difference between standard of living and quality of life. And we have been deceived. So we're going to talk about this today. And again, if you're not a religious person, this is a motivational self-help talk, all right? I'm okay with that. If you're a Christian, though, this is you better pay attention because you cannot truly follow Jesus and not get this right. Okay, everybody with me? Any questions? Didn't think so. All right. Now, let me tell you three things I know about you, okay? And then we're going to dig in. Three things I know about you. Number one is you are living on a percentage of your income. And I didn't think I'd see anybody like writing that down. No, I am living on a percentage of my income. Now, we've talked about this before. We don't talk about it enough, though. You're living on a percentage of your income, and you don't know what it is. Now, this is huge. You're living on a percentage of your income, and I bet you've never thought about it. It may be 100%. It may be 80%. It may be 120%. But I bet you've never chosen one. You know, for most of us, and we've just allowed life, you know, to kind of set the percentage for us. The second thing I know about you is this. If you had just a little bit more, things would be fine, right? Things would be fine. Now, how many times have you thought that? Right, you know, things are so tight. If we just had a little bit more, you know, things would be fine. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But you know what's so interesting about that? We've all felt that, right? We've all felt that. If we just had a little bit more, I mean, why is that? It's because we never chose a percentage, and we have just allowed lifestyle to stay in sync with our income. Now, don't laugh at yourself, and don't elbow anybody, and don't think I can't wait for my husband to hear this. All right, here is the number three thing I know about you. You felt the same way when you made a whole lot less. Right? You felt exactly the same way when you made a whole lot less. In other words, if you could go back 10 years, right? If you're old enough to go back 10 years where you actually had a job or a career maybe, if 10 years ago somebody were to tell you that you were going to make as much money as you do now and yet you're still going to feel financial pressure, you would have laughed. Like, are you kidding me? If I could ever get to the point in my life where I make $10,000 more or maybe $15,000 more, if I could ever get to the place where, you know, I'm no longer hourly, but I actually have a salary, I mean, if I actually had a job with benefits, are you kidding me? I would be like golden. I would be so, so happy. And yet, here we are, better off than you were 10 years ago, and you still feel like, man, if I just had a little bit more, things would be fine. That is called marginless, no space living. And the interesting thing is, that will never change no matter how much money you make unless you begin to make some big changes. And again, if you're not a Christian, you're not a religious person, that is just good self-help financial stuff. But listen, if you are a Christian, all right, this is huge. You cannot follow Jesus. And when I say follow Jesus, let's talk about it in two ways, right? I mean, let's say that you're not even sure Jesus is alive. You just kind of thought that he had a lot of good things to say, and so you want to follow the teachings of Jesus. You can't follow the teachings of Jesus and not get this right. And then if you're like me, you know, you actually believe that he rose from the dead and he still is alive today and somehow he inhabits our hearts and he is the leader and the Lord of my life, you really can't get this right until you face up to what we're going to talk about today. Now, my wife has taught me a thing or two over the years about teaching, and some of you are visual learners. So I've got a chart here for you, right? So this is time. That is money. This is time. Let me go over this again. All right, that is money. This is like your lifespan. This is time. Now, in your life or in your lifetime, hopefully your income will look something like this, right? Hopefully over the years, your income will increase, whether that's in hundreds or thousands of dollars, it doesn't matter. Over the course of your life, hopefully your income will increase. And I understand for some of you, it may go, you know, a little bit up and down. Some of you, it's just like, it's like flatline. You know, need to shock you a little bit. I understand that, right? But for illustration purposes, that is money. This is time. Okay. Now, in an ideal world, in a creating space world, if you get this right, or perhaps you have gotten this right, your spending will look something like this. Okay. There will be space. Now, there will be some margin. Oh, this is, wow, look at how much we spent, but look how much we made. You know what? I think maybe we could afford a better vacation. I think we're going to be able to pay for college. You know what? Things are kind of tough. You know, sometimes the income flattens a little bit during a season. But when there's space, life is still going to be okay. And here's what I know about you. You want this. Red, yellow, black, or white, you want this. Okay, Catholic, Protestant, Methodist, Baptist, don't believe, don't know what you believe, you want this. Okay, single, married, married with kids, had kids, wish the kids would move out. You know, it doesn't matter. This is a good thing to shoot for because you know what happens in the space? You get along better. You sleep better. You drive slower. You pray and you can actually concentrate. You're more generous. You're more generous with your time. You're more generous with your money. Now, if I were to say that is it, right? That's it for today. Let's close in prayer. You know, thank you, God, for this 10-minute sermon. Here's the thing. You should do whatever it takes legally to get there. Right? And life is better, right? Seriously. Life is better when you create space, isn't it? I mean, it's like nobody's going to go, that is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Darren. No, right? We all get this. Now, here's where most Americans live. Okay, that's how it works, right? For most people. Because I allow, or you allow, we all allow our income to drive our spending. If I make $25,000 a year, I spend it all. $50,000, spend it. $100,000, spend it. $50,000, spend it. And here's the amazing thing. For those of you who make $25,000 to $75,000 a year, you're not going to believe this. Did you know that if you make $150,000 a year and your spending tracks your income, you will still feel financial pressure. Okay, people who make $150,000 a year, who spend it all and have it all crammed into every single category, they still feel the same pressure that you do. In fact, it's worse. Because if you lose a $30,000 job, you can go out and find another one of those. If you lose a $150,000 a year job, it's a little bit harder to find one of those. The more money people make and their spending just goes right up with their income, the pressure just increases. And then, of course, sometimes we spend and we borrow our way into oblivion, and then all of a sudden things get upside down, and now we have real marriage problems. Right? Now you don't enjoy anything. And what's amazing is you have a life full of stuff, and you don't enjoy any of it. And nobody ought to live that way. Now, the Bible calls this slavery. And when you live like this, you become a slave. Okay, you have purchased and borrowed your way into slavery. And when your personal finances look like that or worse, Right? Banks and credit card companies become your slaves. And you hate them. They become your masters and you hate them. You get letters in the mail from them and you hate them and you don't even know who them is. I mean, they don't even know you. You're just like a number to them. And you hate them. And they don't even know who you are. And there's nothing wrong with banks or bankers or credit card companies. It's you. You've become a slave. Right? They are your masters. And now everything economic, everything financial is your master. You can't buy that, you can't drive that, can't live there, can't pay for that. You know, she can't go to college there, can't vacation there. And you know who's running your life? Financial things. People you don't know. Bills are running your life. Mortgages are running your life. Your car payments are running your life. It's all running your life. Next thing you know, you become a slave to a group of people you don't even know. And you feel this pressure. There's just things you can't do. You can't fund your dreams. You can't fund your children's dreams. And you become a slave emotionally. You know why? Because you worry all the time about money. You just worry, worry, worry. And as I said a while ago, the more money you make, the more you worry. Because you know how hard it is to replace a big income. I mean, it's hard enough to try to replace a small income. It's hard enough to try to replace a medium-sized income. But the more money you make, the more you worry because you realize, man, if I go down, the odds of me replacing this amount of income are almost non-existent. And then you become a relational slave because all your conversations are about money. And it's just a terrible, terrible way to live. Now, if you're a Christian, this is a really big deal. This is a really, really big deal. And if you're not a church person or you hate church or hate people like me, I understand that, especially if you're a guy. Right? If you're a guy and you're not a Christian, you don't like people like me. I mean, because I'm always telling you what to do, and your wife, you know, she like believes it. So that's okay if you hate me, all right? I'm fine with that. Here's all I ask. That when you open up the pages of the New Testament and you look at how often Jesus talks about money, it's one of the reasons pastors like me talk about money so much. And Jesus never took up an offering, so I'm not talking about that. And Jesus said so much about money, you can't be a sincere follower of Jesus in your financial world if your financial world looks something like this or something like that and you're not doing anything about it. Now, this whole idea of living like a slave to your finances, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, predicted this. He told this parable in Luke 16, this fascinating parable about a money manager, and he gets fired, and he decides to leverage his opportunities so that when he does get fired, he's still going to have a job. And if you've never read the Bible, just read Luke 16. It's this cool parable. But at the end of this parable about money, Jesus draws a conclusion. Okay, look what he said. He said, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. Now, some of you have had jobs where you had two masters. You know, it's like you had the boss in your location, then you had the higher-up management, and they're all telling you what to do. Jesus said, I know what that's like, right? No one can serve two masters. Or maybe you grew up with your mom saying one thing, your dad saying another thing, or maybe your parents were divorced, and so, you know, you lived with your mom part of the time, your dad part of the time. It's like you had two masters. And Jesus says, oh, I understand that. Right? You can't have two masters. There's this tension, and you can't fully serve, you know, either one. And then he continues. Either you'll hate the one. You know, I love being with my dad. He lets me stay up late. And either you'll hate the one and love the other. You know, I love her because she understands the way things work in this business, but all the guys in the office, you know, they don't get it. I love one, hate the other. I love my mom. You know, don't love my dad. I love my dad. Don't love my mom. Now, there's this tension. You'll love the one, hate the other, or you will be devoted to one, and you'll despise the other. Now, this is brilliant, right? He says if you're ever in a situation where you've got this tug of war, right, and you've got two different people, two different groups telling you what to do, and you can't help but lean towards one and lean away from the other. But then you kind of feel guilty because, you know, after all, she is my mom, or, you know, she is my boss. Well, he did hire me after all. Jesus said, it's just going to be terrible. So everybody's listening to Jesus teach this amazing principle, right? This amazing parable about a money manager and a money lender, and this rich guy fires him, and then he tells him he did a really good job, and so it's a little bit confusing. And then it looks like Jesus kind of changes the subject. You know, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one, hate the other. And then Jesus makes this very, very relevant 2,000-year-old comment. It says, you cannot serve both God and money. And it's like, Jesus, don't you mean God and the devil? No, that's not what I mean. God and money. That if you find yourself in a situation where money is saying you can't, you know, you have to, you know, don't you dare, don't you even consider, don't you even look over there. And God is saying, here's how I want you to live your life. Here's how I want you to be generous. Here's how I want you to love your family. Here's how I want you. He said, if you ever find yourself in that situation, it won't be unusual for you to feel torn between your devotion to God and your devotion to stuff. He says, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to choose which master. Now, this is so important if you're a Jesus follower. If money is your master because you have traded, borrowed, or spent your way into slavery. If money is your master to where, really, when you open up the pages of the Bible, you go, I know Jesus says to do that, but I can't do that. You know, Visa won't let me. My mortgage won't let me. My car loan won't let me. If you find yourself a slave financially and you can't do what Jesus says financially, then you can't really follow Jesus. And then, what about this one? Don't you hate this verse when we looked at it in week one? Jesus says to us, so do not worry. So do not worry. Don't worry. It's like, have you seen my checkbook, Jesus? All I do is worry. And what do? You feel this tension. I mean, I want to follow Jesus, but how can I not worry? I mean, look at the mess I've made. And yeah, I like to blame everybody else, but I haven't saved. I haven't, you know, been careful. I've just kind of done what everybody else around me has done. And now there's this mess. And yeah, I like going to church and singing the songs, and I love to pray. I love seeing all the baptisms. You know, I love the messages sometimes. And I love my family being there, you know. And honestly, though, when it comes down to actually doing this stuff, I can't do it. And you have allowed your mismanagement of money to keep you from becoming a sincere, sold-out follower of Jesus. He can't be your master. And that is a big deal. Right? He can't be your master financially because you haven't created any space. You read what he says emotionally, and you worry all the time about money, even though he tells us to do not worry. And then relationally, you know, in the New Testament is just filled with one another, you know, love one another, serve one another, be compassionate to one another, carry for one another's burdens, forgive one another, just one another. Did you know that when your financial world is upside down and you're a slave to your stuff, you have a hard time doing one another because it's all about you? If you're a follower of Jesus, this is a spiritual issue. You've got to create some financial space because it's in the space that you find peace. It's in the space that you find the margin to serve and to love other people financially. If you have two masters, you're going to be frustrated and you're going to lean toward one and lean away from the other. And then you're going to come to church and you're sort of going to pick and choose and then you hear sermons like this and go, I can't do that. And so you're torn. And so your Heavenly Father who loves you, who doesn't need anything from you, your Heavenly Father who loves you says, come on, come away from the edge. Right? I want you to back away from the limits and I want you to live an abundant life. I don't want you to live a life that is driven by standard of living. I want you to live a life that is driven by quality of life. Because in your quality of life, you'll have better relationships. You'd be in a better position to serve me, to go when I say go, to stay when I say stay. I want you to have a quality of life that reflects my life in you. So what do we do? Well, I'm going to give you some steps, right? And the first one is the most important one. You can just pack up and leave after the first one because you're smart people. You'll figure the rest out. And this will work if you're a Christian or not. If you're not, it's optional. You know, if you want to live with all that financial pressure, just go ahead, all right? I'm sorry, but now you know, right? It's like people who come in for financial assistance, okay? We have absolutely no problem helping people out financially. We'll even help you out twice. But after two times, I am sitting down to do a budget with you, and I have yet to do a budget with anybody, right? They don't come back. If you're a Christian, you've got to do something about this because Jesus died to be your Savior and your Lord. And you sing about it every single week, and you can't follow him with all of your heart if you're a slave to your stuff. So here are some steps, all right? And the first one is pretty complicated. It's decide, right? Now let's just say that out loud together, right? I'm going to decide. Yeah, you just got to decide that you're going to do this, okay? It's like working out, okay? Working out is not about the difficulty. It's all about the discipline. It's not like you hear anybody say, you know, the reason I don't work out is because I don't know how to do it. That's not it. It's the discipline. And again, debt is how you have a higher standard of living. Discipline is how you get a better quality of life. So step number one is really the only step most of you need because you're pretty smart people, right? You just got to decide, I'm not going to live this way anymore. And once you decide, again, I think you're going to figure out. As Dave Ramsey would say, you've got to get so disgusted, so mad, so frustrated, so I'm not doing this anymore, right? I'm not blaming a president or a prior president. I'm not blaming the economy. I'm not going to blame my boss. I am blaming myself. Right, these are my decisions, my choices, and I'm going to, one way or another, I'm going to open up some space between my income and my spending. All right? Now, if you need a second step, here's the second one. You need to create a space goal. All right? Create a space goal. And what do I mean by that? If you go back to our little chart there, you need to decide what percentage you want between those two lines. And I understand you may have some things going on right now, but all I'm asking you to do is, right, whether it's by yourself or with your spouse, with your family, decide that in an ideal world, what would I want that space to be? All right, 5%, 10%, 20%, what would you like it to be? Write that number down and then shoot for it, right? Go for that number. And then number three is you've got to track your money for 2 months. Right, you should know where all your money goes. Right? If you don't know where your money is going, you know, forget this, forget a budget. And we've talked about budgets before. You need to get a ledger book or Excel or Quicken, you know, download something I've never heard of. Dave Ramsey's website is full of free tools that you can use. And for 2 months, you need to log every single penny you spend as a couple or as an individual. If you don't know where your money is going, you won't know how to fix it. And again, if you're not a religious person, that's good advice. If you're a Christian, don't we believe that everything we have belongs to God? I mean, don't we believe that God has entrusted to us in our greedy little fingers some stuff that we get to manage as stewards for a limited amount of time? And if you don't believe that, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, Jesus says over and over and over and over and over again that we will give an account for our lives. And we will give an account for our financial lives. I mean, you owe it to yourself and your Heavenly Father to know where His money is going. And if you've never tracked it, you're never going to be able to create space until you know where it goes. So you got to track your money for 2 months. And then after that, you cut spending. Okay. And now, I know we don't like to cut spending, so let me just give you a little insight. All right, this is free. Ready? I want is better than I owe. I want is better than I owe. I want that car is better than I owe money on that car. I want that nice house is better than I owe money on that nice house. I want that pair of shoes is better than I owe money on a pair of shoes. I want to go on that cool vacation is better than I owe money on that cool vacation that I couldn't afford. I want is better than I owe. Right? We really need to say this one out loud because this is just like at the core of the American insanity. All right, so say it with me, right? I want is better than I owe. So cut spending. And then the last one is that you got to develop a dumping debt plan. Now, I'm going to tell you how to do this. This is so simple. Right? There's three steps to developing a dumping debt plan. Now, I'm not a financial planner, okay, duh. But I have taught Financial Peace University 4 different times. So here it is. You walk across the street to our free public library. You pull off the shelf for free Dave Ramsey's book called Financial Peace Revisited. You sit in a chair over there. You open up to chapter 6. It's on page 67. And you read that chapter. Now, if you tell me you don't have time to do that, I got another option for you. You take your smartphone, which you can't afford. You go over that. You take pictures of pages 90 and 91, right? That's where he has his snowball program. And then you take that home and you read those two pages and then you get started, okay? There is a way for you to get out of debt once you decide that you're going to do it. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, this is good advice. But if you are a follower of Jesus, it's a command, right? It's how we follow him. That's why he talked about money so much, because he knows this, right? He knows that the greatest, right? And don't miss this. The greatest competitor for our hearts is not the devil. the greatest competitor for our hearts is our stuff. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, he knew it. And he said, I didn't come and die on the cross just so that you could spend eternity with me in heaven. I came so that I could be the master and the Lord of your life, which means creating some financial space. It may lower your quality, or it may lower your standard of living, but it's going to raise your quality of life. That's why we say that creating space, life is better when you create space. So you got to decide, set a goal, right? Track your money, cut spending, get out of debt, and become a sincere, sold-out follower of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let me pray for you.